worry. I think the dictionary defines it as to torment oneself with or suffer from disturbing thoughts, to fret. And it seems many of us, we tend to be champion of worry. So we are going to continue today with our series on winning your inner battles, the war within. And today, we're going to talk about winning your battle against worry. And it's true. When you worry, you double your trouble. And I think that's what Jesus knew as he was talking to the people about many, many different subjects, things that are really important to him. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, he begins another section that was a continuation of a previous conversation that he was having with the people. Then he said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet, I tell you, not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." You know, the Gallup poll did a survey, and they found that Americans worry more than many other countries. In fact, they broke down the percentage of people who they described worried a lot, and they defined worrying a lot as worrying about one thing or another every single day. And it was interesting. So the prevalence of worry by age, the breakdown was as follows. People between the ages of 15 and 29, 52% of them worried a lot every single day. Imagine a 16-year-old worrying. They worry a lot. And they find that worry peaks during the college years. Ages 30 and 49, 52% of these people worry a lot. That was the highest level of worry. And then, interestingly enough, once you hit 50, like, I don't care. It drops to 38%. 30%. I've seen it all. What's the point of worrying? I think that's good, because it seems like some of us, many of you, you're learning as we grow, right? But there's that age between 30 and 49 when the majority of people worry a lot. And you will see, in fact, as Jesus framed the issue of worry during the Sermon of the Mount, the main message that you saw if you read the whole passage, is that the point Jesus was making is that you tend to worry about the things to which you devote the most time, the things that are more important to you are the things that you worry about. So you worry about the things to which you devote your mind the most. I can bet you, you're not worrying about my job. I know you love me, but you don't worry about my job. You care about me, and I got news for you. I don't sit home and worrying to death about your job. I care about you, but I don't spend my time worrying about your future. I worry about my future. And interestingly enough, Jesus tells us what is most important, what was most important for the people of his day. And in fact, the Bible says the same thing continues to be true today. So if you look back a few verses prior to the one that we read, verses Matthew chapter 6, we start in verse 19, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 24, tells us what the people in Jesus' time worried about the most, spent their time thinking about the most. Jesus, as he was talking about money, started and said, "Do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You worry about the treasures of your heart. You worry about the things that you feel are the most important. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And look at verse 24, and that's key. "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And if I were to do a poll today, if I were to survey each one of you about the things that you worry about the most, the things that keep you awake at night the most, you are going to see it's going to fall under those things that Jesus talked about in verse 26 and 27, when he talks about do not worry about your life, and then he continued what you will eat, what you will wear. In the end, we and you and I, all of us are worried about this physical body, about money, about the future of this life on earth. And it's interesting because I always say the Bible is the Word of God because it is true, and it is true because it's the Word of God. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, predicted that people would worry about their life. And then the life, the word was suke, meaning the length of their lives. They're going to worry about their food. They're going to worry about their health. They're going to worry about whether or not they're going to die early or die old. And that reality of 2,000 years ago is the same reality today. In fact, another Gallup poll that was taken 4 years ago, 5 years ago in 2015, listed the top four issues that Americans worry the most. They weren't asking for personal issues. They were asking, what are the top issues in the country as a people that you worry the most? The top one was healthcare. Again, their body, their lives. 54% was about the availability and affordability of health care. If they get sick, can they go to a doctor? The second one, 53%, was the economy, money. How are they going to be able to provide for their families and eat and drink? That's what Jesus was talking about. The third one, 51%, again, was about the length of their lives, the possibility that terrorists will attack and they might die. Because when a terrorist attack, you don't know. It could be you. It could be your child. And then the fourth was whether or not security would be solvent. Again, money. Will I be able to provide for myself at the end, at the later years of my life? So what Jesus was talking about in verse 26, 25, and he said, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. That was 2,000 years ago. 2015, different words, same issue. And if I were to look at you and ask you, eyeball to eyeball, what are the things that worry you? They will all fall under the same categories. You may say to me, I worry about my child. How are they doing in school? Well, technically, it's not because you worry about their intellectual, versatility and intelligence. No, you want them to do well in school so they can get a good job they could provide for their lives and their families. You worry whether they're going to be safe. Are they going to stay healthy? Are they going to live a long and productive life? So you worry about the things that are important to you. Someone said that worry is faith in the negative, trust in the unpleasant, assurance of disaster, and belief in defeat. Another person said, worry is wasting today's time to clutter up tomorrow's opportunities with yesterday's troubles. You look at how things went last week, last year, last decade, and you go, oh my God, what's tomorrow going to look like? And some people, they spend their entire lives. They can't enjoy the moment because they're worrying about the future. Will I have enough? Will I be able to provide for my family? When I turn 65, am I going to have enough money to retire? Am I going to have enough money to eat? When I got cancer, am I going to be healthy? And Jesus has one answer. Don't worry. Don't worry. That's what it says. Do not worry, period. Don't worry about the length of your life. God has that under control. He decides who lives, who dies. He decides when you're going to live, when you're going to die. Don't worry about your body. How to feed your body. How to keep it comfortable. Now, I know some of you, you're not really worried about your daily food. This is the United States. When Jesus said, don't worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, of course you don't. You've got a fridge full of food that's probably going to spoil you, then you'll buy new ones. Most of us don't worry about what we're going to wear. This is the United States. You have clothes galore. You go and you spend 20 minutes in front of the thingy where you put all your clothes, and you go like, oh my gosh. Well, some of us have closets. I call it thingy because I don't have a closet. Well, my closet is high-tech, shall I say. Whatever, right? You look and you say, what am I going to wear today? I wore this yesterday. No, I can't wear this today. Oh, does it match with my shoes? That's what we worry about. So you may not grasp and understand the profoundly shocking nature of what Jesus said when he said to these people, don't worry about what you will eat. Don't worry about what you will drink. Because you see, the people of his time, they understood the shocking statement of saying to somebody, don't worry about what you will eat or what you will wear. If I don't worry about what I will eat tomorrow, I starve. Why? Because most people had to look for their food on a daily basis. If you live in some third world country where people literally do not have food for the next day, they have to go look for it or hope for it. And the next day after they eat something, they have to then worry about the next day's food. Where are they going to find it? Back in Jesus' time, people had to worry about what they would wear because they don't have a closet full of clothes. Often they had to make their own clothes themselves. And usually they would have literally one or two. And then they would have something to help them over the winter time. And if they lose that, whatever it is, to help them keep warm, they freeze and sometimes freeze to death. Today, if it was you at this moment, Jesus would say, don't worry about your job. Whether you're gonna get laid off or not, lose your job or not. He would say, don't worry about your mortgage because I know you need a place to put your family, to lay your head. Don't worry whether you'll get the groceries. Don't worry about your retirement. Don't worry whether you'll get cancer or not. That's what he's talking about. A lot of us, we spend so much time worrying. Yes, you don't worry about food because you've got food. And actually, I shouldn't say that. Granted, you're not going to die of starvation tomorrow. I can assure you there is food banks. There are places you could go get food. But there are people on this planet right now who are, and you know it, starving, literally starving. And they eat today, often they will gorge as much food as they can because they don't know if they're going to get something tomorrow. And God is saying to these people, don't worry about your food. Don't worry about your clothes. I mean, think of it, my friends. If you are blessed enough to have food in the refrigerator, by the grace of God, I can be almost 100% sure that none of you are going home with zero to eat. You may not be able to eat what you want to eat. You may be sick and tired of eating the same thing over and over again. But you have something to eat. Your kids may go, rice again? But they do have rice again to eat. They may have an oatmeal to eat. But yet some of you, God has taken care of that physical need. You're still worried about the future. You're still worried about 20 years from now when you turn 65. 10 years from now when you turn 65, are you going to retire the way you want? Some of you, it goes even further. You lose sleep over the future. And worry is bad. In fact, worry is useless. Worry does not change the future. You don't make things better by worrying about them. In fact, there's a guy, William Inge, and he said, worry is interest paid on troubles before it is due. Jesus said it, there will be trouble tomorrow. But he's saying, don't begin paying interest before that trouble is due. Rest on God. He's already shown you he is providing for your basics. Not only is worry useless, pointless, worry is also senseless. And this is the part where Jesus was very, very, very clear, at least to the people of his time. See, Jesus made two comparisons about worry that may sound silly for some of you. And those comparisons began in Matthew 6, verse 26, when he says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So he begins, this is what's called in argumentation, the argument of the lesser to the greater. You use some lesser important thing to prove the point of a more important truth. Jesus starts from the lesser. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow. They don't have a farm where they go for grain. But it says, your heavenly Father. And I think it's important that Jesus didn't say, but the Lord feeds them, or God fed them. Jesus said, your heavenly Father feeds them. Even though they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store away things. Now I want to make sure I explain this text a little bit before we continue. It doesn't mean because the birds don't sow, don't reap, they don't work, so to speak. Don't sow, don't reap, don't store away. You think they don't work. And that doesn't mean that you're just going to sit there at home watching TV and say the Lord will provide and expect God is going to bring a grocery bag by your door. In fact, he'll open the door for you and put it in your fridge. It doesn't work that way. In fact, the Apostle Paul said something pretty harsh. He said, if you don't work, guess what happens? You don't eat. So that is not what Jesus is talking about here. You see, birds work hard. I mean, they work hard. They fly and they look for their food. They look for the grain. They look for the worm. They are flying all the time. They are working all the time. But however, what you never see is a bird flying. Oh my God, am I going to find some worm? Oh my God, where is the worm? Am I going to find some, oh my God, what am I going to eat? Am I going to find some grain? Oh my God, winter is coming. What are we going to do? No, they fly, they look for their food confidently, knowing that they will find it because God will provide. So if you don't have a job, you don't just sit home and say God is going to provide. You go out and you look for a job. But when you look for a job, you don't start going around and say, oh my God, am I going to find a job? Oh my God, how am I going to pay my mortgage? Oh my God, am I going to find food? How am I going to find groceries? No, you go for a job, you give it the best you can, trusting that God will provide. That's what it means. They don't sow, they don't reap. They don't control the outcome. They do the work and they trust God. And then Jesus continues with the silly hypothetical question. Can one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And the answer is no. If anything, the opposite will happen. rather than add a single hour to your life, you will reduce your life by multiple hours. In fact, Charles Mayo, who is the founder, one of the founders of the Mayo Clinic, he said, and I quote, "Worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, and the whole nervous system." And then he said, "I never met a man or knew a man to die of overwork, but I've sure known a lot who died of worry." Another person said, "Ulcers are not caused by what you eat, but what is eating you." God loves you. God is your daddy. God is your father. And Jesus is saying, if God takes care of the birds, don't you think that he will take care of you? You know, people worry, and worry really can cause death. People worry and they destroy their marriages because they complain so much. They destroy their health because they're thinking negatively to the future, to the tilt. There's a story about a man who, at the age of 20, began to worry about whether he will die of cancer because his parents had died of cancer. He found out that he had the genetic code for cancer. And, you know, the environment was bad. So this guy began to worry literally every single day about cancer. He would go to the doctor for whatever little thing goes wrong. He worried, and the worry begins to cause him heart palpitation. The worry begins to cause him high blood pressure. He worried, and he worried for 30 years. And he died of a heart attack with no sign of cancer in his body. You worry about your health. Are you going to live a long life? Are you going to have cancer? Are you going to have high blood pressure? Are you going to have... Now, there's nothing wrong in going to the gym and enhancing the quality of your life. God wants that. There's nothing wrong in planning for the future. In fact, in James chapter 4, James encourages us to plan for the future. But when we plan, we say, if it is God's will. God loves you more than he loves a bird. God is your daddy. God is your father. If God, your daddy, takes care of the birds of the air, how much more do you think he won't be willing to take care of you? And I want you to repeat that one after me. God loves me more than he loves birds. Can you repeat that after me? 1, 2, 3. God loves me more than he loves birds. Sometimes we need to remember that. That God loves you. And therefore he'll take care of you. He'll take care of your needs. He'll take care of our church. You think God is not looking down and see, okay, these people have been faithful for so many years. I want to come through for them. I take care of the birds. I give the birds a place to stay. I give the animals a place to hide. I will give them a place to stay, to worship me. In your individual life, I don't know, maybe the rent is coming due, the mortgage is a problem. God will give you a place to be. And it continues. Not just food for your body. Jesus continues. He dresses the flowers of the fields. Matthew 6, 28, 30, it says, "And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field, how they grow? They don't labor or spin. And that's the same theme. God controls it all. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in his splendor was dressed like one of them. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Every time in the Bible, the expression "you of little faith," I believe, appeared four times in the Gospels in the New Testament. And every time it appears, that statement, it relates to people fretting, worrying about their physical life and physical needs. God is impatient with people fretting and worrying about their physical needs. Because it makes no sense. And here's why it doesn't make any sense. Many of you are Christians, believers in Jesus Christ. So you trust Jesus to save you out of hell, to give you eternal life, a brand new body, but you don't trust him to take care of your needs on earth? I want you to think through this for a minute. You trust God to give you a new body. 1 Corinthians 15, we will receive a new body, a glorified body from Christ at the resurrection. But yet you can't trust him to care for the body that you have now. When he says he's your daddy, he's not your daddy when you are in heaven. He's your daddy now. He's your father, your Abba now, in the here and now, on this planet. So worry is a sin. Worry is a sin. It is the evidence of a lack of trust, and it's faith in God. It is the evidence of a lack of knowledge of who God is and what God can do. Some people don't mean to worry. They worry because they don't know God. They don't understand who God is. So worry becomes, whether you do it purposefully or not, worry becomes a personal attack against God. It is a personal attack against the person of God. God is your father. Now, how would you feel, those of you who have children, if your children were biting their nails all every day? Oh my God, what are we going to eat tomorrow? Oh my God, are we going to be, are they going to kick us out of the house? Oh my God, are we going to be able to go to school? Oh, my shoes are getting a little small. Am I going to be able to get new shoes? And they do that over and over, and they come to you, and then they're restless. How would you feel? Children have this beautiful ability to just simply relax. You never see them fret or worry about what they're going to eat. They come and say, "Mom, I'm hungry." "Mom, I need new shoes." That's it. And they say it with full expectation they're going to get food. Why? Because you're my dad. You're my mom. You feed me. That's what you do. Can you imagine if we could have the same attitude toward God? And then when they come to you as their parent, they don't come in an arrogant fashion. You need to feed, well, some of them do. But they come, it's more like it's a natural trust. "Mom, I'm hungry." And the expectation, because your mom, is that you feed them. Could you imagine if we had the same attitude toward God? "Yeah, the mortgage is coming. It's $1,200. Lord, I only have $700. You go on your face and say, "Lord,
Mortgage is coming. Don't forget. It's due the first. I know you don't forget. You won't forget. I'm just saying. And then you go about your thing. God may say, get another job. You go and get another job. God may say, get a second job. You go quietly, get a second job. God may also say, hey, go and look in your mailbox. You find an anonymous 700. I've seen it happen. Can you imagine if we could do like the little children do? We don't fret. We just go before God. No, not in an arrogant manner, but with the expectation that this is my daddy, my father. Therefore, I'm going to go and I'm going to expect that he's going to provide. Because that's what he does. Again, God, when you worry, it's an affront to God's person. It's also an affront to God's promises to you. Because God said he promised to take care of all your needs. That's what Philippians said in Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply to all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And Paul said this to the Philippians in the context of the Philippian church that was a poor church. And they gave and gave and gave and gave because Paul wanted to get money and get donations for the church in Jerusalem. And the church in Philippi, they gave and gave and gave out of what they not even have. And Paul said, and because of that, my God shall supply to all your needs. And how is he going to do it? According to his riches. And I want to make sure that we understand, God didn't say he's going to provide to all your want. That's where we get it confused sometimes. God says he's going to provide to all your needs. And in the Bible, when the Bible talks about providing to your needs, the word needs is simply referred to shelter, protection, food, drink, clothing. That's it. Now, God may provide to my needs and give you a 4-bedroom if you have 6, 7, 8 kids, because that's what you need. If I have one child or no child, I'm not going to ask God to give me a mansion. That's my want. God never promised to provide to all your want. He could. He may. Sometimes God decides to bless you ridiculously. You just say, praise God, thank you. But he doesn't owe it to you. But what he does owe you, and he says it, he provides because you are his child. He owes it to you to provide to all your needs. So he says, stop worrying. And if you were not in the habit of worry, don't stop. That's it. I'm your daddy. I'm able. I'm your provider. So stop worrying. So, what is the answer to worry? Two things. One, rearrange your priorities and focus. Because remember, this discussion about worried, this discourse about worried, really started as Jesus was talking about money. As Jesus was talking about not serving God and mammon or money. What Jesus is saying is, if your priority, your focus is material things, money, getting more of it and more of it and more of it, and health for your own benefit, not to so that you could be useful to him or to other people, for your own benefit, then that you need to reverse that priority and say, Lord, I just need what you think that I need. You know, David said to God, Lord, I forgot the psalm. In one of the psalms, it said, I pray that I'm neither too, I'm not poor to the point of having nothing, and steal and bring shame upon your name. And I don't want to be wealthy to the point of forgetting you either. That God will provide to your needs. So rearrange your priorities and focus. And then number two, be kingdom minded. Worry about the kingdom of God, the church of God, the people of God, God's kingdom to reign. That's what he says. And then the obedience focus. Meaning, you choose to obey God. Charles Stanley, whom I love, says something that stayed with me. He says something to the effect like, God takes full responsibility for those who trust in him. You trust in God, you live in obedience, God will take care of you. He'll provide to your needs, and he'll make sure that you are satisfied with what he gives you. Rearrange your priorities and focus and become kingdom minded. And that's what he said in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. And what these things were, if you look up to the other verses, you don't need to date, but look up and you will see is everything else that your needs will be provided if you seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. You live for God, God will live for you. He will provide to your needs. You know, a man was in a hurry to catch an airplane. He ran, huffing and puffing, down toward the gate. He passed a guy who was dressed in a pilot uniform. And the guy said to the breathless man, "Where are you going in such a hurry, my friend?" Oh, the man said, "Oh, I'm late for my plane. I don't want to miss my plane." The guy said, "Which plane, which flight are you on?" He said, "I'm on flight 233. And the guy said, "Hey, slow up, my man, slow up." He told him, "Don't worry. I'm piloting that plane. I'm the pilot. The plane is not going anywhere without me. I'm in control." So the pilot was walking and chilling. And if the pilot is chilling, you as a passenger, you better chill. The guy went from huffing and puffing and running to walking at a leisurely pace. Why? Because the pilot was with him. The plane cannot go anywhere without the pilot. So don't stress yourself. Don't worry about your future. God is the pilot of the plane of your life. So stop worrying. If God is chilling, as the kids in my old church would say, then you be chilling. Don't worry. The pilot is working with you, and he's walking with you and working with you. So don't worry. But I want to reassure you that God has got your back. He's a faithful God. He promised to take care of your needs. Whatever that need may be, God will take care of it. Bring it to him in prayer. Bring it to him on your face, on your knees. And if you remember last week, we said all of the battles that we're going to tackle over the next few sermons, there's only three overarching strategies to winning them. The first one is you win them in the word, on your knees, and in community. You do this, God will be faithful to you and will provide.